AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Yeah, if you've got any questions about what's going on in the cattle industry right now, now's a good time to pick up the phone and give us a call. You can also send us a tweet if you do include hashtag AgriTalk in it. You can also send us an email, host@agritalk.com. Now, normally on Thursdays in our opening segment, we have Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers, on. And Greg and I discuss a factor in the cattle industry that the market seems to be paying attention to. But, dude, Greg, there's so much going on right now in the cattle industry. I'm glad that you could make an adjustment and come with us for a full segment today. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for having me, Chip. I appreciate it. And yes, there is a lot going on.
Holy smokes, is there ever. I want to start with something that Brian Grady just said, kind of the trifecta. He said the way the market is trading this week, we've got at least a short-term high in the futures market, at least a short-term high in the cash market, at least a short-term high in the box beef market. That is something that the cattle market participants have been watching for, have been flagging for, and saying, good grief, watch out. We could, if it happens, we need to be prepared for that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And certainly the futures market has shown us there's a lot of volatility there. And if you're a cattle feeder, there's a lot at risk right now. Their costs are much higher than they have been before. It's certainly a time when we're getting concerned about beef demand too. I think those concerns play into what we saw in the futures market earlier this week.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we got that cattle on feed report last Friday. Placements came in up 9.7% from a year ago in February. And the trade was looking for something like a 6.5% increase. I don't know if that was the reason or if it was the simple fact that the cash market had traded to a new all-time high on average, according to USDA, or what it was. But boy, it just chased the buyers out of the market for the first 2 days this week, didn't it?
Well, it did. And we need to think about how the industry has changed over the last, say, 10 years, and changed because we have more of the larger feed yards. I'm going to say corporate feed yards are playing too. Those people, those yards tend to gather cattle and run them on grass. And there may not actually be a feeder cattle transaction that corresponds with the date that they're placed. They may have been on grass, they may have been on winter pastures, whatever. So there's more of that going on than we saw 10 years ago.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then, Chip, that has an effect on the profitability as well. So yep. I know that you've mentioned the profit tracker that we publish on Drovers, and Nalivka has them making feed yards made about $125 a head last week. Okay. Well, I know that, you know, some of the cattle didn't make any money last week, and some of them made more than that. But that's an industry average. But again, it goes back to the way the procurement, what percentage of cattle are actually being bought at that feeder cattle price of $255 per hundredweight. So a lot of factors at play, a lot of different, types of flexibility for these feed yard and margin operators.
Right. Including the cost of gain.
What, oh, what it, wow.
Yeah, I mean, what a difference from a year ago, right?
So, yes, the total cost of feeding a steer, according to Nalifka's calculations, are down 38. I'm sorry, the feed costs are down 38%.
Yeah.
The total cost, however, is up 17%. And it costs over $2,500 a head to buy that steer and feed him. So you've got interest rates, obviously, are playing a larger role. Yeah. That feeder steer up 28% compared to a year ago. A lot of volatility. And there's a lot at risk there for those feed yards. And the saving grace has been that decline in feed costs. That's not good for corn farmers, but it is good for cattle feeders.
Yep, that's right. Monday morning right away, the Oklahoma City Sale Barn had their regular feeder cattle auction. It looked like that market, cash market, was off $3, something like that, on the 7-weight steers. I don't know if that is carried over to the rest of the plains or not, Greg. It seems to me other areas and areas north of Oklahoma City, it felt like a fairly steady market, wasn't it?
Yeah, it did feel like a steady market, but the old saying is the cure for high prices is high prices, right?
Yes.
So it reached a point where, feed yards and backgrounders are looking at that and saying, I've got to back off a little bit, because the economists I've talked to are telling me, the cow-calf operator is doing really well right now in this stage in the cycle. But the margin operator, especially those backgrounders, are really getting squeezed. And the price of the cattle is the biggest factor in that as well. Yeah. The other thing we need to consider, Chip, is that drought concerns have not gone away.
Right.
And, we're looking at a time where we're seeing, I've talked to people in Kansas and Oklahoma. I drove through Kansas last week. It's getting dry again. We had some winter moisture, but that drought threat has not gone away.
Right. Okay. I want to hit a couple of other items here. Monday, we got word that USDA was going to come with a press release about this mysterious disease that was into the dairies in Kansas and Texas. Talk about it being in New Mexico as well. Well, they did. They confirmed that it is the high path avian influenza has gotten into the dairy herds. There's some dairy herds. It seems like there was a reaction in the cattle market to that word as well, out of concern that some of the dairy herds were going to be liquidated or something like that. Did you hear that or see that?
That rumor seemed to fuel those futures reaction.
Yeah.
Maybe it was, I've talked to people on both sides of that question, but it seems like it was an opportunity to take a pause in this market, right? And it was based on not on knowledge, but on fear of the unknown and the uncertainty. And so, I've had some people tell me the futures market did its job when it did that. Now, based on where you're at in the market, you may or may not agree with that, but at least, the market says, we know, do not like uncertainty. And that certainly provided at least 24 hours or 48 hours of uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen, but it seems to have smoothed out. The fears are subsiding. We know it's not a problem for consumers of either pasteurized milk or properly cooked beef, right?
Right. Yeah, it is. Consumers should not be afraid of what has happened with the HPAI getting into the dairies. But if consumers show concern over the safety of the product, I get it. The market probably needs to make some kind of an adjustment because of that. So the uncertainty or the risk of it is very real. Very real. Okay.
So the maybe some other things that happened this week, like that bridge collapse in Baltimore.
Yep.
You know, those are, you know, pushing this HPAI news to the second and third page.
Exactly. Okay. One other one that I want to get to here real quick. Something that I think there was widespread agreement among cattlemen, cow-calf producers, beef organizations, cattle organizations, everybody, was they really didn't like the idea of reopening the U.S. beef market to chilled, frozen, fresh beef from Paraguay because of the uncertainty over their FMD status. And the Senate is trying to do something and stop the reopening of the market. That's good news, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Can you name the last time, Chip, that the entire beef industry has agreed on something?
No, I can't.
I mean, that's like getting Democrats and Republicans to agree on something. But hopefully our Democrats and Republicans in the House will agree with what the Senate did and pass the same resolution. And hopefully, if they have the same margins they had in the Senate, it will be veto-proof from the president, right?
Right.
Absolutely. We need to stop that reopening of Paraguayan beef to the United States because they just don't have the same inspection and regulations that we do. They're still vaccinating for FMD. However, American consumers need to be aware that we have the safest beef in the world. And we just hope Congress will step up and make sure that that continues.
Yep. That's exactly right. The beef supply is safe. There's no question about that. And this action by the Senate is going to help to keep it that way. We just don't want to have to deal with a foreign animal disease coming into the country. The last thing we want to do is import something like that. Henderson, good stuff, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Greg Henderson, editorial director at Drovers. Terry Johnston, Farm Rescue, up next.